Today's audiocast for Friday, June 30th, 2006 is brought to you by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. The science fiction of our childhood has had a way of becoming science reality, but so far the prediction of a practical flying car in every driveway has eluded us. But could that be about to change? This week, AvWeb's Russ Nile spoke with Mitch Labiche of Labiche Aerospace, who's come up with a new concept for the flying car. Here's Mitch to tell us what makes the FSC-1, that's flying sports car, different from everything else we've seen in the last 60 years.
We did a lot of market surveys to find out what people really wanted. We knew we could just about build anything that we could dream of today, but we were asking the question, what do people want to buy? If they had something available, what would it have to look like and what would it have to be? And that's what kind of set the stage for the FSC-1 requirement. FSC-1 is a four-seater, unlike most previous attempts ever in roadable aircraft. And we came up with four basic reasons that the FSC-1 would be a doable and sellable item. Number one, it had to be fully automatic from the cockpit. In other words, the pilot never has to get out of the vehicle to convert between aircraft and car mode. So it's fully automatic just at a push of a button. The second thing is it had to look very attractive and have a lot of functionality and features of the car, because they'd be using that way about 85% of the time is what our surveys told us. So the FSC-1 is quite a functional vehicle as a car, not only as an airplane, but it's a nice vehicle to drive around as well. And the third thing is it had to be mechanically sound, both in aircraft and car mode, and it had to fly pretty fast was the last thing we found out. So we attacked the problem from those perspectives, and that's what we came up with on the FSC-1.
People can go to our website and have a look at the photo of it. It is an attractive vehicle, both as an aircraft and as a car. How do you reconcile all the various different forces that are acting on both sorts of vehicles and come up with something that's practical in each mode?
That was kind of the engineering challenge that we faced when we presented the findings for the requirement. And we kind of scratched our heads for a while, and what it came down to was that the car had to pretty much be a canard-type car to get the weights and balances and everything in the right place. You want the center of gravity roughly in the center of the car when it's in car mode, and you want it fairly close to the center of lift when you're in airplane mode, and the idea was, how do you do that? And we actually developed and patented the configuration that is now the FSC-1. It's basically a three-flying surface vehicle. It has a canard, a main wing, and a V-tail, and all of which are active and are used in flight controls.
And do they all fold away when it's in car mode? Like, where do they all go?
The canards fold into what would be considered the hood of the car. The main wing first folds in half and then swings underneath the floorboard, which was basically the feature that makes the FSC-1 doable and practical and attractive looking. That's a patented feature. The third thing is the tail folds down flat, and it looks just like a spoiler on any high-performance supercar that you might see going down the road today. One of the things we came away with from our marketing was we had to hide all the features, number one, for tampering reasons, and number two, to not give away the identity of it as a flying car. People really wanted it to look like a car going down the road. We just recently actually switched over to a Corvette, the 2006 engine. It's a 450 horsepower supercharged engine, and it's mid-engine mounted. We're using that with a proprietary transaxle that drives the rear wheels. And also the engine switches between driving the rear wheels to driving propellers in the back of the vehicle that are hidden nicely underneath the folding tails.
What's the transmission arrangement for changing from driving to the flying?
The transaxle has its own clutch. It's actually an auto-shifting type car, as used in many supercars today. The gearbox going to the propellers in the back have their own clutch and arrangement set up with locking pins and drive systems to lock the propellers into place as the engine picks up the power to it. We actually also are using a power-assisted rear wheel, which is another patented thing that we're doing. We can actually take off in about 450 feet by using the rear wheels for acceleration.
Let's talk a little bit more about performance and the flight envelope that you're envisioning for this.
Sure. The maximum cruise speed would be right about 280 miles per hour if you go up to altitude. It's a fairly large vehicle, and it is that way on purpose, but when you go up to altitude, you can reduce the drag quite sufficiently. another reason for the supercharged engine, so we can maintain horsepower at high altitude.
What altitudes are you talking about?
Oh, 15 to 18,000 feet. You might have to use some oxygen, and we're also looking at a pressurized version of this. The service ceiling is much higher than that. The service ceiling is actually 31,000 feet, but we're not going there yet.
Stall speed?
The beautiful thing about a canard is it really doesn't have a stall. It has a minimum flight speed of about 67 miles per hour, which is quite slow given the size of the vehicle. Takeoff speed, rotation somewhere around 70 to 75 miles an hour. You can start rotating the vehicle off of the runway.
What's it going to cost?
The cost is $180,000. That's a kit form version only right now. The main reason for that is that we're trying to keep the prices low and performance is high. And getting a car certified is dizzying enough. Also, tackling airplane certification, car certification at the same time is mind-boggling right now. But we're trying to get the vehicle going, and we're actually offering it as a kit right now with limited-term refundable deposit.
Any plans for certification in the future?
Absolutely. That's our ultimate goal. But we're trying to get crawling right now, and then we're going to start walking.
What is the arrangement for controlling the vehicle in both modes?
In car mode, we had to have all the typical things that a person uses in a car today based on what our customers were telling us. So it uses a steering wheel, and it uses a floor pedal for a throttle and a brake, just like you do in a car. The transmission is set up to be auto-shifting, where you can shift it manually. In aircraft mode, we have two side stick controllers that come from the dash that control pitch and roll. And pedals are based on the outside of the throttle and the brake on the pilot side. And on the co-pilot side, we actually have an extra set of pedals for yaw control in airplane mode. So in both modes, it's exactly what you're used to seeing. In airplane mode, it uses standard controls, and in car mode, it uses standard controls. The steering wheel actually disconnects using a rapid disconnect mechanism right behind the column, and you can take it away and put it right behind the front seat. So it completely clears your dash when you're in airplane mode.
And it'll have both sets of instruments for land and aviation, obviously.
We use five various size LCD screens distributed throughout the dash. And we have backup steam gauges on the co-pilot side for airspeed and altimeter and the standard things that you use in airplanes.
And you've flown a remote control model of the design.
We have. Going back about 5-6 years ago, we flew a 1/10 scale model that was aerodynamically correct. Both skill and weight and power. We worked with that thing for about a year and a half to work out all the kinks and stability and make sure that with the gear up, gear down, flaps up, flaps down, that the thing is exceptionally stable. And we also tested a quarter scale model, which is a big guy. It's about 8-foot wingspan, and we tested that in limited wind tunnel testing here recently.
And you're moving towards flying the prototype end of this year, early next year?
That's the plan right now. We're trying to rapidly scale up our plans here and accelerate it a little bit to get to driving and flying this thing before the end of the year. We will be going to Oshkosh. We didn't make it this year. We plan to, but we're going to be bringing some quarter-scale models and videotapes and other things to Oshkosh. But we'll definitely be there next year, and we'll have some more things to show here shortly. We haven't really released any pictures of it yet except to limited sites and places, but you'll start to see it all around here shortly.
Put me down for a couple of those. You've been listening to Russ Niles' conversation with Mitch Labiche of Labiche Aerospace on the company's new concept for a flying car. Online at fweb.com, you'll find in-depth coverage and breaking news on all things aviation. And don't forget, Avweb is gearing up for expanded coverage of AirVenture Oshkosh. Extra issues, more podcasts, and an updated Avweb.com homepage. Watch as we work to make the most reliable and accurate aviation news even more readily available. This report was made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for Avweb's next AudioCast on Monday, July 3rd. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.